there seems to be still two worlds, right? There's always this sort of SAP world and a non-SAP world. Mm-hmm. And for instance, Snowflake is a perfect platform to bring it all together, but it seems to be a challenge. So what we often see is that those worlds only meet, for instance, in Excel sheets or something like that. They're not really brought together. And if you think about a lot of companies talk about scaling data and scaling integration and scaling analytical projects, integration with Excel is not the best way of doing this.
Good morning.
Morning, Damien.
Morning. So we're just we'll give it a few, allow people to join. David, we're just chatting backstage. You're in Switzerland. How long have you been? How long have you been in Switzerland?
Moved in 2004. To Switzerland. Before that was Paris, but I've been in, so I'm American, but I've been, well, maybe I should say Canadian now after the election. But I've been in Europe for about 30 years, so I've been socialized.
Oh, you're European now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you can't claim Canadian status anymore, I don't think.
All right.
What brought you to Europe then from Canada?
A girl.
It was a girl.
Yeah, it's always a girl. So that's the main motivator. And did my master's up in Scotland, then moved to France.
Amazing. And Edwin, whereabouts are you?
I'm based out of Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
Amsterdam. Okay, we know it well.
Everybody knows it, right?
Yeah, you tried to kick most of us English out, I think, but we keep trying to return.
Yeah, but it's a nice city for everybody, I would say.
Yeah, beautiful city. Okay, well, welcome everyone. Today we've got a Coffee with Coalesce. It's a special EMEA edition. I'm Damien Walker. I'm a sales director at Coalesce, my colleague, and we got dressed together this morning. Glenn Dawson, he's a senior solutions architect with Coalesce. I'm really lucky to have two really special guests with us today. So David Richard, Snowflake's principal sales engineer and a bit of an SAP evangelist and guru, and then Edwin Commander, who's a field product manager at Fivetran. So welcome both, good to have you here. Obviously we're going to go through some discussions around SAP, some of the pitfalls, pain points, all of that good stuff. I know I'm keen to understand more and learn more, and I think some of our listeners will be as well. But before we get into that, I think so, in way of introduction, David, Snowflake, how long have you been with Snowflake?
It's almost 5 years now. I started in January 2020. So one of the last trainees to actually fly to California before the lockdown. So luckily I saw that Snowflake actually exists as a company, because for 2 years after that, didn't see anybody. Yeah,
that's amazing. So you joined just before COVID.
That's right.
Just in time. Okay, yeah, because, well, that could have changed a lot, because you may never have been there. If, you know, lockdown had happened sooner, who knows what we're doing.
Some people thought we sold T-shirts, so.
Yeah, I remember I spoke to one of the early Snowflakers, and then he was in sales in the UK, and he said he was phoning people, and they thought it was like ice cream, and he had to explain to them what they were actually doing. So, I mean, quite remarkable the growth that Snowflake's had. You've probably seen a lot of change. I mean, what are the major changes you've seen in your time?
Absolutely insane, right? I mean, yeah. I started, I'm not exactly sure on the numbers, and don't quote me on it. It was like under 100 million for the year. And now in Q3, I think we announced over 900 million just for the quarter. And so we've grown from, I was employee number 5 in Switzerland, 1,700 out of everyone. I think, you know, we must be at 8,000, 9,000 now. So just absolutely insane growth pattern.
Yeah. And like a lot of growth, the company is changing. I mean, and I speak because obviously coming from Coalesce, we're in that growth stage of scale up. Yes. You start to see change. And I imagine you've seen a whole suite, not just the growth, but the change in terms of company dynamics and the trajectory, what the company's doing now versus how it started.
Yeah, absolutely. And most people on the call probably never heard of business objects, but there's very, very similar pattern where I joined. Or, yeah, man, go Glenn.
Yeah,
right, 2,000 up to 6,000, but this is just absolutely insane. You just see where the money, right, where the investments go. And there's massive investment on in Europe and what we focus on. When I started, right, we're like kind of this data warehouse piece, and then it's just gone like exploded horizontally. Data warehouse going towards the data lake piece, and now we just acquired Data Volo for the more data integration piece and right, get those images and movies and things like that in and across and have that. Just so really becoming a foundation of data, all different types of data. And then on the right side, going from gold to right, your LLMs, ML, AI, and things like that. So just massive expansion on that side with a couple key acquisitions. And then vertically, right, when Frank, I think it was in the second 3 years, like we have to go after the industries, which I'm something really super comfortable with, right, because SAP is like 26 different industries. At the end of the day, right, it's the same foundation, but it's like how can we serve the man, and we see as manufacturing is probably the number one piece at the moment, but then also retail is huge, healthcare life sciences. How do we address those markets? And manufacturing is an easy fit for us, right? Because you've got that transactional data, and you want to bring in your IoT data or your IIoT data all into one place, and Snowflake is really good at that.
Yeah. So has it felt quite organic, that growth then, I guess, because there's market demand for Snowflake to want to do more. And then but what you say about verticalization is, that's probably more of a business push then. So is it a mix?
For sure. I think there's the number one thing is like some super happy customers and like, we want you to do more. And so we expand the footprint within it. And then the verticalization, right? You want to get closer to business and have that business language and whatnot, because who has the money?
That's it.
CFOs, and they need to, you know, we didn't want to just stay as this kind of this, you know, middle layer block. Is that we have to, you know, you've got to touch higher up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's always interesting as well, as to, you know, from where we are in our company, is it's what you say yes to in order to grow. But I think equally as important is what you say no to. Because I'm sure Snowflake had a huge amount of customers making demands. Can you do this? Can you provide that? And at some point we'll go, no, because that takes us off our path. Mm-hmm. I think that's always an interesting conversation.
And that's absolutely key, and something that I don't know why I'm personally super proud of it, because I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Right. But the two guys, there's three guys, but the two of the main architects that founded the company, Benoit and Thierry, they came from an Oracle background, and they're like, we're going to keep this and build it organically. And the acquisitions that we've done is actually acquiring the people, but then they have this really tough job. How do you bring that technology into what is essentially a unified single engine pieces? And so we had to be really stringent and careful about that, continuing the governance and centralized governance and security around that, because without that, you know, we're dead. And I think we're really, really good at that.
Yeah. Amazing. And it doesn't stop there. I know there's continued growth. Being part of that Snowflake world, we see the aspirations of where you want to go in the next sort of 5 to 10 years. So, I think.
Sure.
Yeah. Edwin, we spoke last week. Welcome. Thanks for being here. I think you were you're on the phone when we spoke. I heard a lot of background noise. You were at a very exciting, it was either a rock festival or an SAP convention.
Actually I'm a roadie at a rock band. No.
Yeah.
No, I was at an SAP event. It was the UKI SUG. It's in the user group in England, and they have every year a big conference in Birmingham, and I was there to learn more about SAP and to find maybe some new prospects.
Okay. Any wonderful insights that you can share with the listeners? Like, what was new?
No, not so much new. At the end, we're talking SAP, so not much changes. They are around for decades. But what I see in their communication from SAP is they are much more focused on AI. So that's in all their communication is coming back together. And I see also a little bit of a shift from the SAP Sapphire back in June, is that they get their story more together. So it first starts more as a sort of a gimmick. Well, we can do this with AI and we can do that. Well, now they start sort of better translate that into sort of business terms and so. So, yeah, I would say that that's one of the things that I find I see a bit changing. So they are getting their AI story more ready, and they see that also probably that's on the mind of customers. So they want to talk and touch on that. Yeah, the other point that I saw was that I saw a lot of vendors, let's say niche vendors, instead of in the past on these conferences, you also always the big partners like the platform partners, the database partners, maybe some data integration partners. I didn't see that. I see that there are much more small niche vendors on small SAP functionality. So that I found also quite specific and let's say, really different from these conferences, I would say 3-4 years ago or even longer ago before COVID.
Yeah, I think that's, like you said, you use the line, their story. And I think that, you know, that's the similar with many companies now. I think the AI and that's invigorated a new storyline. So suddenly there's a sequel rather than having the same talk track. It's brought a lot of businesses to life because there's a new frontier to go out and discover. So yeah, good on SAP. I think it's the same journey that many businesses are on. We've kind of nicely segued into SAP. We kind of wanted to talk today about, I mean, you've got a vast amount of experience with customers, being with Snowflake and Fivetran. You've seen a lot of SAP implementations and migrations, and there's always that, you know, I talk to SAP customers, and generally, I suppose migration customers in general, they know what they want to do. The question I always get asked is like, do you have a big red button solution? You know, we all want the six pack. We don't want to go to the gym. We don't want to do the work for it. Is there a solution that we can go, oh yeah, we take all of that and bing, here it is. You know, it's no news that it doesn't exist. But I think what customers can do is to sort of prepare themselves for what does that migration to a cloud service like Snowflake, for example, look like? And what are the pain points that we should expect to see along the way? So, I mean, I'd love to get your input on some of that. Either one, David, Edwin.
Maybe I give my first try from my perspective. Yeah. And obviously, if we talk about migrations, it's not only a migration to Snowflake. It's often also a migration of their SAP system to a new way of, for instance, a new HANA, a new offering in the SAP cloud, and it's all together. And what I see from my point of view, and of course, I'm looking at it from a data perspective, right, and an analytics and a data integration perspective, is that the end-to-end life of data is often not sort of analyzed up front. So what they do is say, oh, we bring the SAP function into the cloud. We bring maybe our data integration, our analytics function into the cloud, but they don't think of it bringing it together in the cloud, right? And so there's often a disconnect between those. And I often tell sort of customers or prospects or to you is that at the end, you should look at the end to end life of data, which sounds straight, right? It doesn't live. But people, it seems that the way they set up their architecture is that they don't think further than their ERP system and how does it integrate, right? So, and I think it's important, right? Because if you have data in your SAP system, like a billing document, a sales order, or even a cost document, it doesn't stop at your ERP system because you want to use it later on also in your analysis or even maybe further integrated with other data into your into an AI analytical project, right? So that's what I see often missing, this end-to-end philosophy.
Mm-hmm. And but how easy is that to, so you're talking about data that lives at SAP data with data outside of SAP? How do customers really get that to join together to actually make some use of from it?
That's one of the challenges, at least to the organizations that I see. So what I did see, and actually that didn't change for the last, I would say, almost decades, is that there seems to be still two worlds, right? There's always this sort of SAP world and a non-SAP world. Mm-hmm. And for instance, Snowflake is a perfect platform to bring it all together, but it seems to be a challenge. So what we often see is that those worlds only meet, for instance, in Excel sheets or something like that. They're not really brought together. And if you think about a lot of companies talk about scaling data and scaling integration and scaling analytical projects, integration with Excel is not the best way of doing that. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Maybe David, what do you think?
For me, maybe I'll take it a bit higher level, because it's some kind of when I talk to customers and even when I, you know, some of these other editors or even, you know, talking to SAP sometimes, is there's this shift in mentality that needs to happen. And right, for the past 40 years, 50 years, we've been very application centric. And so, right, you've got an application and it generates something, you have to store it there, and then you have to, then it comes back to the application. And now shifting to the cloud or Snowflake or whatever, is that you need to move that application to the data. So this is just this massive center of gravity. And that changes everything. That changes your architecture. That changes how you interact. That changes how you deploy applications. Again, going back to, you know, central governance and securities, like how that's managed, and it's managed at a data level. And I don't want to go through a whole history of SAP, but what they were really good at in the 70s is locking a cell of data so it doesn't get changed by other ones. And right. This fundamental thing, they got it really right. And this is pre-database, right? This is 1973, and they got that. And so positive side, downside, 50 years on, there's still stuff in there that they absolutely have to do at the application level, whereas it's much more economical and efficient to do this in Snowflake or right, a modern data platform. And just to drive it home a bit, right, on Snowflake, if we take all our customers, we're running 6.3 billion queries a day, which is basically a distributed architecture across, you know, 18, 20 billion tables. And we're doing this at scale. Our largest customer has something like, and I don't even know what it means, right? But 50 petabytes of data in one of our systems, just in one of their accounts, you know, a 3 petabyte table. We look at some of the biggest, you know, systems that SAP run in, you know, it's been great and things like that, where you're talking, you know, uncompressed 1.2 petabytes. So it's just orders of magnitude different. And some of that has to do with the newer technology that's come out, vectorization, and be able to process massive amounts of data. But, you know, SAP is really good at one thing and we're really good at another. So that kind of moving from application centric to data centric on the application side. And then we'll also see that these legacy applications are like, this is our application, and we're going to say that, right? And we're going to be a silo unto ourselves, and not to mention the silos inside a company. But what we've seen is a shift on the data side is this collaborative effort, right? SAP language, like business partners and things like that. And those at a transactional level, POPI, and I can throw out lots of abbreviations on that, but getting that to the next level where you have zero ETL at sharing of terabytes, of petabytes, of your master data in a controlled way, so you can build up these ecosystems. That's where I see the innovation and the piece going well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just listening to you two, it feels like it's such a big universe. The once you're an SAP customer and you're in that, I mean, we say SAP, but there's so many different components within that world. It's a huge universe to live inside. If I was an SAP customer thinking, okay, I need to find a better way, which bits am I going to use and keep using SAP? Which bits am I going to go away from and migrate? I mean, where do I begin? And if we're looking at, I suppose, maybe from a Fivetran point of view, I need to get that data off and extract it. I need to find a way to land it somewhere else. What should I be considering, and how does something like Fivetran step in and aid and help?
Yeah, so what I think how Fivetran can help, of course, with that is that Fivetran on itself has a really specific solution for a specific problem, right? Yeah. What we are doing is data movement, and often that's neglected, right? That's not even seen. It's if they draw an architecture, you often see points like, for instance, a snowflake or an SAP, but the line in between, the arrow, is even sort of not well defined, and actually that arrow can be a challenge. So that's what Fivetran is doing. And what we want to help customers is getting to their data, to enable them in the data strategy. And often that's bringing, I'm a bit repeating myself, is often not bringing, only focusing on SAP data or non-SAP data, but really in the integration of that. And that's what Fivetran can give, right? So we are a data integrator. We'll make that arrow, right, between, for instance, an SAP system and Snowflake, and we do that as a managed service. So like Snowflake, that gives them a couple of advantages. First of all, you don't have to think about it. Second of all, we scale with your requirement. So that's really, really nice for it, like a Snowflake, like a Coalesce actually is also doing. But the second, what we do is that we don't only do it for SAP. So we do it also for all that other data. So actually we have, I believe, more than 600 connectors. Actually, it's not worth counting anymore, but all those sources we bring together. So, and that, I think, makes the big difference is indeed, if you look at it from this, from a data-centric kind of approach, where you want to bring everything together, and SAP is just one of the sources, an important one, right? It has a high quality of data. It's super important system of record for many processes. But at the end, there's a lot of value in bringing it together with other data. And that's what Fivetran can deliver. So not only for the SAP data and that integration, but especially for all the data that you want to bring together in a data platform.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess you've seen a lot of those journeys from your side, Edwin. I'll be interested, are there any that stand out as real, the greatest respect, real car crash cases where you work with a customer and you're like, this has gone so wrong? Or maybe you got there after the car crash. You were one of those who were rubbernecking, having a look at the carnage after. But yeah.
I've seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
Not an insurance company, no. Actually, a big company, not too far from here. I've once been, and actually, from a data perspective, right? In migrations, so I've seen already a lot of things going wrong. But let's say from a data architecture point of view, there was a big company that decided that their application platform should be on one hyperscaler, while their reporting platform should be on another hyperscaler. And because the business decided so, and actually sort of, if you indeed draw the arrow between them, it can make sense. The problem is, of course, that there's petabytes of data that has to move over at the end. And if that arrow is, if those systems are not connected, as they are different hyperscalers, even in different regions and so on, that company couldn't report after their new data architecture, the freshness of their data they wanted to integrate was 2.5 days. And that's, yeah, for such an approach, impossible, right? And it was super expensive to bring it together, and the data was always missing and things were going wrong. And that, from a data architecture for such a big enterprise company, that's incredible. And that's what I mean with, that I saw, and that's what David also says, that they don't look at the end-to-end life of data, or they don't put the data centric, right? They put the application centric, the analytical application and the, in their case, the reporting application. If they would have put data centric, that probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, just to bring Glenn, I want to bring you in a little bit. You've got, see, Hive trying to come in, the data has now landed, let's say on Snowflake, and this is probably where your experience, because this is where you've seen some of these customers and you generally get introduced at this stage. And typically what do you see as some of the issues from here in?
Yeah, I can see some challenges start right there. You know, the SAP source system can be very 1973 centric in that it's very technical. It's sometimes difficult for customers to actually find their data inside their data, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So we then need to kind of look at the process of extracting the data out, maybe replicating some of SAP's functionality, you know, transforming the data, looking at potentially some of the extractor functionality and building some packages to kind of help people move the data through to their presentation layer. And then obviously the analytics side of things can kind of sit on the top after that. So yes, obviously there is the part where we need to land the data into Snowflake and using Fivetran, excellent, particularly with the system columns that allow for incremental loading near real time, all of those good things. That's a great thing. But once we have the data, we need to spend some time kind of working on it, transforming it and making it presentable to the analytics team.
Nice. I've got, I keep hearing about, is it SAP BW and ECC, and there's this kind of end of life or end of maintenance date, and is it 2027?
31st of December.
Okay. So it seems pretty definite. And if I'm a customer now, I'm sort of thinking, okay, I have to now make some sort of decision, whether that's to migrate within SAP, which talking to one of our customers recently, who they're a Snowflake customer and they've used Fivetran and Coalesce. And he's beat his timelines. I think he can put his feet up for 4 months now. Very, very fortunate. But typically, if I'm a customer thinking, I need to make a decision, I need to do something, when should they start? When should this conversation and this journey really begin? Because I think that customer is very lucky to get it done so quickly. Obviously, good people, good process, the right tooling. But yeah, is there a timeline? What would you give?
Yeah, they should have already started.
Okay. So,
But yeah, so and for instance, that conference I was last week, SAP made it quite clear, like you have to get moving, and they're quite eminent about it, right? So they claim that still I think 22% only has moved already. So that means that there's still 78% out there still having to do something, right? And for SAP, this is an opportunity because they want to have as many of their customers in their cloud, right? Because it can let them control data and let them do all their AI magic, whatever they are planning of. And it's for a customer to think exactly what we did discuss before. How data-centric are you, and how does your end-to-end data architecture should look like? And it's probably better good to start yesterday than today.
Right. So if you have,
I believe they've moved the dates forward a few times. I think 2020, 2025, 2027. So they have been kind of extending the deadline for maintenance, but maybe that's finally coming to an end.
Yeah, for sure. You can extend your maintenance, and probably there's other companies out there that will support your SAP systems well beyond 2030. The other question you can ask is how data ready are you for the future if you follow that strategy, right? So that's another approach.
Yeah, presumably you won't be getting updates and security patches and all of those good things. So you really need to think about that migration sooner rather than later.
We used to have a joke when I was at SAP's that, you know, they came out with this whole campaign of like BMW runs SAP and all these other companies run SAP. But actually what it's shifting towards is SAP running these companies because they want to move. And logically, right, because Salesforce does this, they want to move to a SaaS solution. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard because they their whole, right, the past 50 years is like, we're customized. You can customize an SAP system to fit your business processes. And now the shift towards the cloud, towards S4 HANA and private edition now and public edition beyond that, right, Rise and Grow, they're shifting. You need to change your business processes. And that's one of the major components, right? It's in, you talked about BW, but I'm also talking about the ERP, which you have this 2027 piece that you have to move to. It's just people, right? Some there's a customer in the US, they're budgeting $1.2 billion because of changing the business processes and moving to the cloud. So this can, you know, smaller companies can be tens of millions and can take 2 or 3 years on that transitional, you know, transactional side. But where we come in, right, the three of us, is like, you can, you know, actually become more cost efficient and have more innovation on the analytics piece. And I think it's a really good point that Glenn brought up, right? It's that you have these templates and the business content and things like that that are customizable. SAP saying, hey, we've got business content. Yeah, but for who?
Yes.
Right? Because they're trying to go back to vanilla and then no company's vanilla. So it's really a question of, do you want to move to more of the open stuff and be more collaborative, or kind of go back, you know, go down into this path into vendor lock-in again?
Yeah. I was just about to say, I find it really funny. Indeed, I think one of the good things of SAP is indeed from the past, where the success was indeed that they were managing a customer's data really good. I think the second pillar of the success was the customization customers could do on their systems, right? They could fit it to their business. Well, now it's exactly, it seems almost the other way around. They are propagating their ideas of having sort of a vanilla implementation, and that customers should just do small customizations on the sides of it. So that's a really different approach, and I'm doubting how good it will fit a customer's business. So that's my take on it. And indeed, I think whatever in architecture you can help to be flexible in this and fit a customer's or an organization's requirements, it would be really beneficial.
Yeah, having a templated approach to moving your data around that you can modify, having access to lineage and documentation, and being in control of your transformations is definitely something that you need to consider.
And David, I think you sort of answered it, but I was thinking, if I was devil's advocate and said, why don't I just simply upgrade BW to, like, is it DataSphere?
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned some of the points then, but if I said that to you as a customer, what would your retort be?
and I get it every day, right? There's a path and there's a bridge and things like that. But I think moving, because there's a next generation of BW, it's called BW4. You just have to pay for it. But it's not an upgrade from BW7.5 to BW4. It's a migration. Okay. You have new data objects. You have, right, and do the analysis, the movement, the data, the licenses, into something that's new and different. And it's like, but also proprietary, and you're still in BW, and it's not DataSphere. So that's one path that some, you know, customers are going. It's like, we need to keep BW, but moving to DataSphere. So BW is kind of this monolithic black box. It's got the ingestion piece, it's got the transformation piece, it's got the reporting piece, it's got the reporting piece mixed in with the semantic piece, right? You've got structures and things like that. So super hard to transform that up. Yeah. DataSphere, it's an application sitting on top of HANA. It's not OLAP. And so this people, even SAP, find it super hard to move this content across. So people are either going, you know, greenfield, going to start completely new. It's like, so why not do it in Snowflake? Or, you know, and then if it's more brownfield and things like that, there's a lot of people analyzing the code and changing it to SQL and things like that. But you know, there's GSIs, SIs that do that. I think one of the cool things about Coalesce is that one, you got more of the drag and drop stuff, but then you also have the templates. And, you know, some of the questions I get is like currency conversion or unit conversion or hierarchies. It's like, yeah, okay, you know, so, yeah. But if it's easier for people, we come out with these, you know, stored procedures or functions, or Coalesce has that stuff, you know, it's like, we've done it tons of times. So,
we've seen examples of challenging currency conversions when moving from SAP, and you know, I can say we have packages that can help with that kind of thing to make it a lot easier, so you don't have to start from the beginning.
Would you say that
on the data side, I have still something to say. What I see is that with customers, especially if they're going to RISE, there's a big data gravity for SAP data on Datasphere, right? Because they have all the connection. It's from SAP, so it's trustable. But again, it still sort of creates a sort of a new silo, because the SAP data goes there. But what I also see is that non-SAP data, which often is a lot more in amount, it often is not put in Datasphere. And it's two reasons, because they sort of don't have the way of connecting the data easily. But the second one is that Datasphere as a system is not, for instance, like Snowflake or the other platforms out there, so cheap. It doesn't use, it doesn't have a shared compute, it doesn't have a cheap storage and so on. So Datasphere as a solution for data per sort of kilobyte, or how do you say it, megabyte of data, is super expensive. So what at the end customer ends up is with one silo of SAP data in Datasphere and one silo, whatever it is, with the other data. And again, coming back to the beginning, is that it's bringing that data together is probably where the innovation of a customer lies. So that can be challenging. So I see actually a lot of customers coming to us like, oh, we're going to RISE and we chose Snowflake as our platform. What do you do? And then we see them often use even Datasphere not as a platform, but just as a sort of staging area where they are lending the data and then moving it on to, for instance, Snowflake or any other platform. And that makes that solution, that end-to-end architecture, quite, let's say, expensive, or let's say inefficient, maybe.
Yeah. Is that a lot of the drivers that you see from customers, like the reasons for change? Is it cost, complexity, data sprawled across, you know, different systems, and, you know, the applications that you were talking about, David? Are they the main drivers? Are they the motivators that get customers to engage in these conversations with you?
I think, you know, because I spend my whole day on it, it's like SAP is everything. and if we look at companies, they've got tons of different sources. And I work with a really large CPG and spent months and months, you know, proving out everything. Something like 300 technical, right, functional things we had to prove out. And then at the end of it, it's like, okay, but, you know, SAP is only 20% of all the data we have. We have thousands of Microsoft databases, we have Teradata, we have Oracle and things like that. And we need to simplify. And so, you know, bringing it across into one place, that's already a huge step. And it's a fundamental difference in architecture from the way SAP thinks. SAP thinks, okay, we can be super fast databases and we'll just federate it, so we're not making a copy of the data. But when you're talking about data lakes and data warehousing and historization, and we have, you know, we have undrop, we can go back 10 seconds ago or you know, 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. None of that. It's not in their mindset. The mindset is like, we want to be that they don't call it chokehold throttle, but we want to, you know, bring everything up through Datasphere and then people will be happy. But the reality of it is you need to have, for me, at least from an architecture perspective, bring the data across and do all the great things you can do with it. And it's really efficient and economical as compared to like running it through an in-memory. So fundamental difference of architecture or opinion. But I think we've proven ourselves out that we're doing a good thing. So,
yeah, beautiful. Well, actually, David, that's a quite a nice summary. And if no one's got anything to add, I think that's a really good place to maybe wrap up. Just want to say Thank you, David. Thank you, Edwin. Really appreciate you coming on. And I know sort of 30, 40 minutes isn't enough time to squeeze all of your SAP knowledge out of you. But thanks for coming in.
We had 8 hours.
Yeah, we're doing nine hour cast next time. It'll be just you, Edwin.
Okay.
Thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks all the listeners for joining. Thanks, Glenn. And
thanks a lot.
Take care.
All righty. Thank you.
Bye-bye.